Well, when you hear the rouser, you know what time it is. That's right, boys and girls, cats and kittens, dudes and dudettes. It is right around here on this Saturday morning. It is, hey, we're just about into April already, if you can believe that. It's crazy how the time is flying by. And it's already the 29th of March. A couple of days, so be a lot of pranksters going on, little April Fool's joke. Somebody pulled a joke on me today. Usually we do the Meet the Raider during the program, and I was notified last night that there probably won't be a Meet the Raider today. And at first I thought they were April fooling me, but they're not. So unfortunately there won't be a Meet the Raider today, but that's okay. We've got Nick Connor in the studio today, which, don't worry, this is going to be outstanding. I'm just telling you. Needless to say, Pete Mergens will be joining us today as well. They're out at the market fair over in Dundas out there. So all afternoon, this afternoon, we're also going to have some reports hopefully coming in here. It looks like I got an email here. Here are the first two, each one. We got Jose Rojas. We've got Jody Wagner coming up. Different people like this. And they'll be talking live what's going on out there at the market fair. It's in Dundas. It's at the Dundas Dome. It's going on all throughout the day. I don't believe there's an entry fee to get in or anything like that. But you can buy some stuff. You can register for some stuff. You can register to win a bunch of stuff. I don't know. Maybe they're giving away a free car today. I'm not sure. You never know. You're going to have to go out there and check it out. So do you bring an umbrella or don't you? Well, it's iffy. So today looks like there might be some rain later on this afternoon. It's going to be a little bit windy. Northeast winds 10 to 15. 80% chance of some rain. Maybe about a quarter inch or so. Tonight, rain, possibly a thunderstorm, cooling off to only around 32. But a chance of rain, this is what's crazy, 1 to 2 inches of rain possible tonight. There is 100%, as they said. I'll go 99.5% that there is a chance of showers or thunderstorms this evening. For tomorrow, looks like a rain, snow mixed with sleet early in the morning, snow likely throughout the afternoon, but then kind of drizzle, it's just that nasty springtime snow stuff. It's a high of 38 tomorrow. Winds out of the northwest, but it's going to gust as high as 25 miles an hour. So breezy, cold, chilly. You're going to think that, you know, we're in the early part of winter, but the reality is we are prime for the right in the middle of spring here this morning. So, and then for Sunday night, looks like a 20% chance of some snow showers. And then on Monday, partly cloudy, cooling off, and then warming winds just out of control at 25 miles an hour, but it's only going to warm up to about 25 above. Tuesday it looks like maybe some rain, again, some snow, 60% chance. So the extended forecast looks a little bit dreary, a little bit sloppy, and, you know, maybe by Thursday we might see, again, some sunshine warming up to around 50 once again. Currently in the Cannon Valley, 32, it's freezing. And we've got overcast skies, no moisture in the air that we know of just yet. So we welcome into the studio this morning. Let's kick it right off, shall we? Why not? Let's do it. Nick Connor is our guest this morning. And welcome, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you know, it's always good to have you here. We haven't actually had a chance to talk to you before. You are the robotics coach. And this is what, your second year?
Yep, my second year being the head coach, I was involved a little bit in the team a year before that as well.
So, are you a robotics nerd?
Now I am. going into it, I knew like nothing about it, and I got asked to be the coach, and I've jumped fully in, and it really does suck you in. And so, yes, now I'm definitely a robotics nerd.
So you never did any robotics before this? College, high school, nothing?
Nope. I got asked to do it just because I'm the programming teacher at the high school, like the computer programming teacher, and I have a physics degree and a math degree, so I know some of that side of the stuff.
But, well, I was going to say, your signature is math teacher, and I'm like going, well, duh, hello, why wouldn't you be a robotics coach, you know? But up until now, nothing.
Up until 2 years ago is when I started on this journey, and it's been really exciting since.
So Did they ask you? You inquired? I mean, or was it kind of a mixed deal? Like, it's just
they
had a program and then it went down and then came back up? Or
the previous coach asked me to be involved 2 years ago. And so, yeah, for a year I was kind of involved while he was there. And then he ended up leaving the district. And then I got asked to replace him. And so I kind of got thrown in head first and just kind of took off from there.
Okay. So how long is, do you know how long the robotics program has been going on in Northfield?
This is our 15th year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So this is the first time we've had you on the air, as far as I know. So, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Glad to have you here. This is cool. So we talk about activities and everyone, and not to, you know, this used to be the Coach's Corner, and we talked about this off air, but this used to be what they call this Coach's Corner. You come in on Saturday morning, we sit down, we talk to 5-10 minutes with the coaches or whatever, and just find out what the scores and highlights of the week are and things like that. And, you know, we talk about Raider activities, and this is called the Raider Wrap. So it's all about, in my opinion, the activities that are going on in our Northfield area high school and maybe even post-high school, different things like that. Robotics happens to be one of those programs, so I'm glad to have you here. I've been trying to track the robotics team down for a couple of years now, so I'm glad you answered the email.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I was really excited when you emailed us because we our kids love showing off what we do, and we really are trying to reach out more to the community and have people know what our kids do and what robotics actually is.
Yeah, Mom, I'll be late coming home from school. I'm going to my robotics class. Yeah, son, whatever. But it's real. It's legit. Mm-hmm. And you do see some things. There are some things on cable TV and different things like that they have the robotics championships and different competitions. Mm-hmm. They're bizarre. They're crazy. How bizarre do you guys get?
Well, so when everyone hears robotics, they think BattleBots.
Right.
Like, because that's what you see on TV. You know, that's what you know, I watched when I was a kid and was really interested in. But that doesn't quite work for a high school team,
right,
like trying to destroy each other. So we get a new challenge every year, first Saturday in January. And then we have like 2 to 3 months to build a robot to like compete in that challenge. So this year's challenge, we actually have two game pieces we have to be able to manipulate. One is a 4.5-inch diameter PVC pipe that's about a foot long that we got to be able to pick up and place on. It kind of looks like a tree. They call it a coral reef this year because the theme is underwater themed. And we got to be able to place it on a bunch of branches on that tree. And then there's a 2.5... I think it's about 2-foot diameter rubber ball. If you think like a classic like kickball.
Sure.
Yeah, that we got to be able to pick up, and there's a couple places we can put that to score some points.
But you said it's an underwater, but you're sitting in a tree.
Well, so...
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. It's a bit... So our competitions can like from the outside perspective, can kind of be a bit confusing at the beginning. So every year there's a theme that the game is roughly based on that theme. So this year the theme is called Reefscape.
Okay.
So the tree is actually supposed to be like a coral reef that we're placing coral pieces on. And that's what the PVC is called. It's actually called coral, that's the game piece name. And then the ball...
Is everybody's name named coral, or is that just your guys?
That's what the game piece is called.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I will say every robot has a name, which
well,
we can talk about that in a second.
I was going to say, I'm sure you guys named it. So.
Yeah. And then the big rubber balls are called LG. So that's kind of just what the theme is this year. And so like everything on the field has a name that's related to like underwater and coral and reefs and things like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. So you're not actually sitting in a tree or anything like
that.
We're
not actually sitting in a tree now.
Your children are not in danger, ladies and gentlemen. It's all good. So who picked that theme? Who picks that? The Minnesota State High School League? Is this a separate? Are you guys associated with the MSHL?
So we are associated with it, but who actually controls our competition is a nonprofit called FIRST, and that stands for Inspiration in Robotics, Science, and Technology. They're a nonprofit that runs robotics competitions all over the world, and one of their competition levels is called FIRST Robotics Competition. That's the one we're in. And so every year they make a new game. They usually have a contest where teams can submit ideas, and then they pick a couple ideas and iterate off of that and try and build a game that everybody can compete in. So
the theme is this coral type of activity, and to build. So is it? Are we building a wall? What are we doing?
So there's kind of like three different components to it, I guess, this year. So there's the, you know, 1 foot long PVC pipes that are called coral. And we got to be able to either pick them up off the ground, or there's a place that a student can like feed coral into our robot.
Okay.
And then we got to be able to take it to it's like a hexagonal structure.
The robot vegan, or does it like chicken?
Okay. I don't know. But we got to take it to this. It's like a hexagonal structure that has a bunch of like branches sticking out of it. And we got to be able to stick the PVC on those branches to score points. And the higher up you can get it, the more points you score.
So when you say branches, are you literally talking about some sort of branch? Or is it like, you know, like shelving units that have like, you know, little clips and hooks and things of that nature?
It's like steel pipe. Like, okay. If you think about, I think it's 1 inch diameter pipe that like there's a vertical piece coming up and there's like branches coming off of it.
So yeah, it's like not exactly a shelving unit, but it's made out of steel.
Yep.
And you have to set things now on top. And you just, it's almost like a high jump bar or a pole vault bar. You just keep going higher, higher and higher.
Yep. The top level is 6 feet tall. And so if we get it on there, I think it's 7 points, and then it goes down from there. Like the
okay,
next
so there is a max
like
level that you can go. So you know that in order for your robot has to be able to extend at least 6 feet to make that placement. So, so there is some limit. When I say limitations, meaning, yes, I mean, because otherwise it would have to be, you would have to create this unlimited robot to achieve, you know, heights of 10, 20, 30, who knows, right?
And that's,
physically, exactly. It's just, I'm guessing it's not even possible.
Yeah. So our robot this year gets up to 7 feet tall when we have our elevator fully up, and that allows us to get onto that top level on the tree. So, yeah.
So when I think of that as well, you know, like Transformers kind of thing like this. So do your robots look anything like, you know, like they literally are, they can stand up, they can move, they can do different things, or is it just, I guess, help me paint a picture of what a robot like that might look like. Because you got to be close, because you started in January and you got a huge competition coming up, which we'll talk about.
Yep. I can talk a little bit about our robot. So every team's robot looks a little different, because they set basically parameters for how big it can be, like how high it can reach up, you know, different rules like that. And as long as you design something that follows the rules, you're within there. So our robot this year, the base is 30 inches by 30 inches. And then we have an elevator on there that starts at 3.5 feet off the ground, and it can extend up, like it rises up to 7 feet off the ground. And on that elevator, we have some mechanisms that are able to pick up the PVC pipe pieces, pick up the rubber balls, to be able to like pick them up from down low, and then be able to bring them up to the highest level that we need to put them at. There's other teams that have done like arms this year that like swivel around, and that's how they get up to the high level. There's some people that have done a combination. They have an arm on an elevator. Every team's design is a little bit different. Every team, like it's very student led. Every team has the students design their own robot from scratch, essentially. And it's the students' vision. It's the students' work that ends up with, essentially thousands of different designs for this for these competitions.
Well, you know, a lot of people can have a lot of great ideas, but how do you get the materials? How do you get the product? Who's drilling holes? Are they drilling holes? Who's drilling holes? Who's putting the nuts and bolts together? How's that all? Where does that all come from?
Yeah. So, well, we buy most of our stuff from some educational robotics companies, Rev Robotics, Cross the Road Electronics, Vex Robotics.
So there's actual stores designed for this.
Yep. That they, like all those stores, like all those companies offer things from like tiny little robotics kits to all the way up to what we do. And they're specifically designed for educational purposes. At our level, we are fabricating almost like the entire structure from scratch. So we're taking aluminum, mostly 2x1 aluminum tubing, and cutting it down to the size that we want and connecting it all together. And it's the kids who are doing all the work. Like, it's their robot, it's their vision, it's their hard work into the robot. So they learn a lot of skills along the way, both kind of like on the nerdy technical side of like programming and wiring and stuff like that, but also on the like mechanical side of, hey, can you drill a hole precisely? And can you get this robot to fit together and the mechanisms all to work smoothly together? So
it's a combination of a lot of different things, but, so you get the theme at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I should ask. How many kids are in your robotics class or in your robotics event?
So this year we've had about 35 students that have been kind of active throughout the year. There were some more that have been, you know, kind of in and out a little bit, just depending upon what they can do with the other, you know, activities they're involved in. But 35 have been consistently active. And we brought 30 up to our last competition. And
wow.
I think that's how many we'll bring up to... I think it's either 30 or 31 up to Minneapolis next week.
So there's not 31 people that are collaborating, right? I mean, you got teams? You got your own independent teams? Or
so, yeah, we break the team up into sub-teams. So we have the mechanical sub-team, and they are building the actual structure of the robot. They are the ones that are taking aluminum and cutting it up and bolting it together and really just kind of building the actual structure. Then we have the electrical sub-team, and their job is to wire the robot and make sure the wires are not in danger and protected. And
And as you're, it's a moving object.
Exactly, yeah.
If you move and it cuts the wire, you're done.
Exactly, yeah. We actually saw Rochester's team at a scrimmage we went to in Byron a couple weeks ago. Their elevator accidentally went too high, and it like shredded all their wiring for their elevator. It was...
Oops.
Yeah. Glad that has not happened to us this year. I'm not, knock on wood, it hopefully doesn't happen, but...
But you're only building one robot.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so I thought maybe you would build like more than one because of the amount of students, but...
No, each team was only allowed to bring one robot. to competition. So yeah, like I said, we got mechanical, electrical, we have CAD, and they are like CADing out, like designing pieces in...
You actually guys have an actual CAD set up at the high school?
Yeah, well, right now we mostly use school computers. In the off season, I think we're going to invest in a couple of CADing computers for ourselves so that we have it in our room and it's easy to use and ready to go all the time. Then we have a programming team that actually programs the robot. And then we also have a marketing and business team.
So you got guys, right? And you got engineers,
yep,
so to speak. So you got metal fabricators, engineers, electricians, computer programmers.
Yep.
So they're writing language?
Yeah. So we program.
So it's not something you download and go, it'll automatically just work with your robot.
No,
These young kids are literally writing the algorithm for it.
Yep. I mean, we use like some pre-built libraries, but like the pre-built libraries are just like you can tell a motor to spin, but now, hey, we got to actually like have it spin at the right speed to the right distance for all the mechanisms that we built, right? Like we built this robot ourselves and designed it ourselves, so we have to program it to work with our design.
Is it a remote control kind of thing, or is it you literally the programming is it's like a Roomba? You know, it knows when it bumps into the wall to turn around and go over here. Is that
so it's actually a combination. Each match is 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. The first 15 seconds is completely autonomous. So all movement, everything the robot does has to be pre-programmed in. Our driver is not even allowed to touch any of the controls at all at that moment.
Wow.
And then after that 15 seconds, the rest of the time is what we call teleop. And that's when it is controlled. We use an Xbox controller actually to control our robot. Some teams use flight sticks. There's a lot of different options for actually like how you control the robot.
Right. So that sounds like a lot of fun. You know what, Nick? We haven't had you on the program in forever. Well, that's because we haven't never had you on here before. So interesting stuff. And I definitely want to find out a little bit more about what's going on. But we're going to take a break. If you can stick around, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
You cool with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nick Connery is our guest this morning, and he is, of course, talking robotics, and it's interesting. It's very interesting conversation going on here this morning. I hope you'll tune in. We'll take a quick break. We're going to head on out to, I want to say, out to Dundas. We're heading to Dundas. Rich Larson is live from Dundas Dome. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Nick Connors. You're listening to the Raider Rap right here on 95.1 The One KYMN.
The Community Market Fair in Dundas, sponsored by the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. Hope you all can come down to the Dundas Dome today. It's underway, and it will run until 3 o'clock. We're sitting here with Jose Rojas, who is one of the vendors. He has Rojas All-Pro Companies. Good morning, Jose. How you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Rich. How are you?
I'm really good. It's good to see you, sir. Can you tell us a little bit about Rojas All-Pro?
Yeah, absolutely. So March 2010, that's when we started.
Okay.
Just one guy operation, you know.
Just you?
Yep.
Okay.
We've been around the community for 15 years now.
Landscaping, snow removal, whatever?
No, not whatever. Okay. We're focusing on five services. It's okay. Lawn care, snow removal, landscaping, and roll-off dumpsters. And then we do a little bit of concrete, too. So that's the main, the main business that we run.
So when we talk about lawn care, it's more than just mowing the lawn.
So we have partnered up with True Green.
Okay.
They do our fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
We do lawn care maintenance. And then we do a little bit of irrigation repair.
Okay.
Start up in the winter and the spring, and then shut it down in the winter.
Fantastic.
That's kind of what we do.
So, and then snow. What was it? Your intent to get into snow removal right away too? When you started up.
You know, the snow's been like my passion for since I started.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just like equipment, you know.
Yeah.
I like the loaders, the skid loaders, the trucks, the plows. Once you like that, it's like the snow is just natural. Come to
sure.
You know? Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny. I think if I got to play with the big boy toys like that, I might actually like snow too.
I know. I remember me playing little cars when I was little.
Yeah.
It's
just great.
Big boy stuff now.
Exactly. So it's and landscaping. Is that building a berm in my backyard basically, or what when we talk about landscaping, what do you do?
Yeah. So landscaping. To do landscaping, you kind of have to have passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like an artistic skill, if you will. We enjoy doing patios, retaining walls, and then just dress it up with a little mulch here, plants, not too simple.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like to make the landscape to be free maintenance, so we'll throw rocks in there, so yeah.
Awesome. So, what do you have happening at your booth today? Anything interesting? You giving anything away?
Absolutely, yeah. We have hats, beanie hats, candy. We got some beer. I know we're not allowed to sell beer here, are we?
No, you're not.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
There's no beer in this booth.
No. You know. Well, the main thing that we're here for is because we're celebrating 15 years, right?
Congratulations.
The community has given us so much, right? Yeah. And we're here looking for three people in the community that need help, that we can do the landscaping. Well, not the whole entire landscaping, but like maintain their lawn.
Yeah.
You know, if you know grandma, grandpa, they just can't get around. Where we look, that's actually the reason that we're here. In the business, I have learned that there's a lot of people that just can't get the snow done either, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they can't move, they're older.
Sure.
And they need help. So we're looking for three members in the community, and then we ask the community if they know of three people that we can help out.
That's awesome.
That's kind of the main things. We are celebrating 15 years and just trying to give back to the community. That's kind of our main goal.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right. So if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
We encourage everybody to go into our website. In our website, we have a form that you fill up and just kind of give us the details of your project. I think we start there.
Okay.
From there, the form will get to the assistant in the office, and she will create an appointment. That guy got hurt over there.
Oh, he's okay. He's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. So
he used to own the radio station. He's okay.
Oh yeah, he has an experience.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, okay,
all right. So okay, so the website is RojasAllProsCompany.com.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And just to email you, RojasLandscapes@gmail.com.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. And if people actually want to do it the old fashioned way and call you on the phone,
you can call me. Yeah. Right.
952-737-7170,
the lucky sevens in there.
There you
that?
Go, man.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck to you this season. And 15 years, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. And folks, give Jose Rojas a call at Rojas All Pros Company.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jose.
Thank you, sir.
Good to see
all
you.
All right. Bye.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
You know that feeling when you're a part of something big? Something that makes you rise to your feet?
Buxton, Lopez.
He struck him out.
Carlos Correa.
There's nothing like Twins baseball. The Vibe brings us together no matter what. It's time to show up and rise to the occasion. When we're together, the Twins rise as one. Rise with us. Opening day, April 3rd. First 10,000 fans get an opening day beanie courtesy of your local Northland Ford dealers.
Stay up to date with KYMN by following us on social media. Search KYMN Radio on Facebook and on Instagram. Find us at KYMN_95 The One.
Okay, well, we're talking to Nick Connor, the head coach, if you will. I mean, does that sound weird? Nick, is that head coach of the robotics team?
I still am not used to being called a coach. And actually, first, the nonprofit organization, they actually classify us as mentors,
okay.
Not coaches.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nick Connor, mentor of the robotics team.
Yeah.
So, again, we interesting conversation. If you've missed any of this program, you want to tune in a little bit more, go to kymnradio.net at the end of this program, and we'll talk a little bit more to with regards to this, but fun stuff here. So who's allowed to get involved in the robotics team, Nick? Anybody? Or
so our high school team is only open for high school students 9 through 12. We'll take anybody that lives in the district, so anybody that goes to Northfield High School or any homeschool students or, you know, like students who have chosen online school or other educational opportunities. If you live in our district, we'll take you. And it's just anybody who's willing to come and learn stuff. You don't need to have any experience. No, the students don't need any experience with anything robotics wise, anything mechanical wise. If you got a good attitude, you come and you're willing to learn. We want you. So,
well, that's always good. So there's no. So we talk about, you know, you got athletes, you got, you know, different types of people that participate. Maybe you're in choir, maybe you're in band, maybe can you. It sounds like, is this something that you can kind of do while you're still running track, or practices right during that same time, kind of conflicting?
Yeah, you absolutely can do it when you do athletics as well. We try and work around that. So right now, we're in build season right now where we're building the robot. During build season, our schedule this year has kind of been Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. So 6 to 9 is our times. When
Sweet.
We do that, and then we got a couple times after school, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday we have like a 5-hour chunk that we set aside.
Which you're missing right now.
Which I am missing right now, yeah. They're hard at work swapping out
some mentor. Just kidding, Nick.
Yeah.
So how long is it? What the time they start this morning?
They actually started at 9:30, a little early this morning.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so you'll go to like 2? 2:33?
3 o'clock is what I've set as the end time.
Okay.
We'll see.
Is that... Because the students just don't want to stop?
That's exactly it. We may be at a point where that we're like, hey, we're good things are happening. Let's just keep rolling here.
Right. So. And if they're cool with it and the parents are cool with the kids staying a little later, it's all good. It's like, because now you're jacked, right? Now you're juiced. It's 3 o'clock. And okay, so let's quickly talk about you got this competition coming. Have you competed at all yet?
Yes. So this is actually the first year in our team's history that we went to two competitions. So end of February, we went to, it's called the Northern Lights Competition up in Duluth.
With this robot?
With this robot, okay, yes. Okay. Yes, with this robot. With not everything is the same on it. We've swapped some stuff out since then. So we went up there. It's kind of the similar format to, or the same exact format as what we'll have next week. We did some things really great, and then some things were really inconsistent. And so that's what we've been working on for the last 5 weeks or so.
So now you take, and the kids take notes, and they're like going, okay, maybe this doesn't work. Or the programmer's like going, oh, shoot, I got to adjust that. This is okay. That's not functioning properly. Yep. Somebody might say, hey, we need to put another arm on there, or we need to add something, or another wheel, or something that may benefit us, or, you know, okay, a stop. You got to put a stop somewhere that instead of coming back this far, it only, you know, regresses that far or whatever. So you guys are doing engineering changes, basically.
Yeah, exactly. We so we actually have we haven't talked about this at the end of the game. To get some actual like bonus points at the end, you can. There's a place that you can go and hook on to like a metal cage and pull yourself the robot up off the ground. It has to pull itself up off the ground and suspend itself. Well, that did not work at all in Duluth, so that has been completely changed out. We have something now that we think works really consistent, so that's been changed out. The programming has been improved because the programmer didn't get like our programming team didn't really get enough time to get it right before Duluth. So that's been worked on and improved a lot, and just a couple other minor changes to some other mechanisms. That's what we've been doing the last 5 weeks.
So I just. When we were in that break listening to Rich, you showed me the video, and I was like dumbfounded, just like going, well, hold it. No, wait. No, so this is – no, that's supposed to pick that up? No, that picks it. No, wait. No. Oh, the robot attaches to this device, then somehow self-manipulates it to raise itself in the air. Pretty impressive stuff, actually. It's just like – I mean, I wouldn't – I don't know. I wouldn't have thought of any of those things, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's every year, like when they make the event, they really try and make it so that there's a wide variety of things that you got to do. So the kids really get stretched and to think outside the box and come up with a lot of different ideas about like, okay, how are we going to manipulate a 1 foot long piece of PVC? How are we going to manipulate, you know, a 2 foot rubber ball? How are we going to get our robot to climb on it's a cage that's on the end of a chain. How are we going to get it to climb on that and, like, suspend itself, you know? So it really stretches the students to come up with a lot of different solutions and a lot of new interesting ideas. So
let's talk about the 5th. 5th's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
April 5th.
Third to 5th.
Third to 5th. So you get multiple cracks at it, or is it you – like anything in athletics or activities or something, you advance as you go, and then if you get knocked out, you're gone.
So it's kind of a combination of that. So on the third, that day is in the morning, it's robot inspection, just to make sure our robot is safe and it's good for competition. And in the afternoon is practice matches. So we get 3 to 4 practice matches just to make adjustments, last-minute changes that we need to do. Then Friday the 4th is when we start our qualification matches. And we will probably get somewhere from 9 to 12 qualification matches where basically each match is 2 minutes and 30 seconds long.
Okay.
And if you win your match or you do some other things, you earn what's called ranking points. And those ranking points are what decide, like, who's in first, who's in second, who's in third. So as you win more matches, as you do and do some other, like, bonus things in the match, you earn those ranking points. And hopefully, like, what we're hoping is, you know, be near the top of the leaderboard. Then Saturday, the 5th, the morning is some more qualification matches. And then right around noon is what they call alliance selection. So that's where the top 8 teams get to choose 2 other teams to be with them for a double elimination bracket, which happens in the afternoon.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it is kind of a combination of we get kind of multiple cracks. We get, you know, 9 to 12 qualification matches to try and do our best. And then at Alliance Selection, it's 24 teams are moving forward. You know, the top 8 each get to choose 2 teams. And everybody else is going home. So,
wow. Yeah. So do you know, you've only been involved with the program in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Do you have any history? Where has Northfield come in the past years?
So the past years, well, 2 years ago, Robot was not very good. You know, we had a really young team, and like we're near the bottom of the rankings, you know, at the end of the qualification matches. Last year we had an improvement, but we were inconsistent. So I think we were in somewhere like 42nd, 43rd, something like that, out of 54 teams. So there's an improvement, and the stuff that a robot could do really well.
Mm.
But just, yeah, some inconsistencies kind of killed us. This year, our first competition, we were about the same as where we were last year. So
middle.
Yeah, kind of middle in there. And actually, after the first day, we were actually up in the like 20s was where our rank. And so we were doing really well. And then we had some tough matches the second day.
Right.
But what we're hoping is, you know, we did about as well as we did last year, just in our first competition this year.
So that's optimistic.
Yeah. 4 weeks earlier than we did, than we competed in last year. So we're really hoping that, you know, the changes we made here can really make us go in and have a whole robot that can do everything we want and just really be consistent between matches. We're hoping for the best. I think we got an improved robot, and I think we've been improving over the last couple of years.
Okay. So we talked about Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Tuesday night. Is it this Tuesday?
Yeah, this next Tuesday, we're going to have kind of a robot reveal event. So we've invited all parents and all of our sponsors to come in. But if anyone from the public also wanted to come in and just see our robot, see what it can do and hear about the team, it's 6:30 at the high school in room V107. The best way to actually get in is not go through the front entrance. Go to the back southwest side of the school where the shops are at door 25. And we'll be there. We'll probably have a garage door open for people to come in, and you'll be able to see. We'll have a quarter field set up, and you'll be able to see what our robot does and hear about the team. And
is it just you, or are you going to bring in some other people, some other towns?
Oh, it's just our team for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So who do you compete against? Obviously, other schools, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who's really good at this?
So in our area, Cannon Falls they made it to the World Championships last year.
Wow.
And this year, they're actually competing right now up in St. Paul. Yesterday, they had a really good day, and I think they were ranked like 5th or 6th after the first day of competition. So they've been really strong the last couple of years. Rochester's a really strong team. Byron's pretty good. This year, it seems like they're struggling a little bit because they're also at a competition down in Cedar Falls right now. But they're usually pretty good. So we're surrounded by some pretty good teams. And actually, I should say we're in a kind of coalition with some of the teams where we kind of share resources and help each other out. Just here in Southwest Minnesota, a bunch of robotics teams kind of have a coalition together to talk to each other and work with each other.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So Tuesday night, kind of just... This is also an opportunity if the parents want to come or students, other students, parents, whatever. Maybe they want to check that program out and just see if that's something of interest. So, again, maybe a student.
Absolutely.
Now, you can't obviously join the team now.
Yeah.
But you've also got some summer events coming up?
Yeah. Well, so we kind of never quit.
Okay.
In the off season, we don't meet off as often as we do in our normal season, but we'll have meetings where kids can come in and work on projects and try things out. And so, you know, a kid can't really join right now to like go to competition, but they can join basically at any time if they're interested and want to come in and learn some stuff. We also have some off season stuff that we're planning to do. So a summer camp for kind of middle school students using little, it's called VEX robotics kits, where we'll have kind of a similar format to what we do, where we'll have a challenge for them and they'll have to come up with a design and build it and compete with the other students in the camp. And then next year, through community education, we are hoping to have a offering of what's called First Lego League, where it's for upper elementary and middle school students, and they make robots out of little Lego kits, Lego robotics kits, and go to a competition and compete against other teams that have made robots out of
Legos. Well, there you go. Yeah. If you like Legos, there you have her. Huh?
Absolutely.
What, no Lincoln Log? What happened to the Lincoln Log?
I don't know. That's next year.
That's the year after, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe that's
maybe,
year after.
Maybe.
Nick, you know, we got plenty we could sit here and chat about all day long, but my program's only an hour long.
Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to have you on. We hope to have you on again. Hope the competition goes great on April, and then let's get you back in here. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Maybe we'll bring a couple of the guys or gals in that, you know, can talk through kind of their experience with the program and how they feel about it and different things like that. So hopefully you'll come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
Awesome. I didn't scare him away. Thank God. All right. Thank you, Nick. Thanks. Nick Connor, head mentor of the robotics team here this morning here on KYMN. Hey, stick around. We're going to go, I think, we probably should pay some bills here, and then we'll come back. Hopefully we'll get Pete Mergens on the program here coming up in just a second. It's the Raider Wrap on AM 1080 and 95.1 The One KYMN.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
95.1 The One.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student-athletes a safe and successful season.
This is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders. Introducing Craywood. With 22 single-family homes, these are heavily wooded home sites for very custom homes. Whatever shape, whatever size, starting in the 600s. For decades, the Paulson family kept their little tree farm in the heart of our city, and now you can live there. There may never be another neighborhood with the new homes closer to the core, an easy walk to downtown or either college. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Rich Larson back here at the Community Market Fair, sponsored by or put together by the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm sitting with Jody Wagner from the Rice County Habitat for Humanity. Good morning, Jody. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. How's the show been for you folks so far?
Oh, this is one of my favorite days of the year.
Isn't this fun?
Yeah, I love being here, meeting everyone from Northfield and beyond.
Right, right. So what's going on with Habitat? What brings you to the show today?
Yeah, well, we're always building in Habitat. Yeah. It's so important for us to keep going. Affordable homeownership is, you know, a greatest need now more than ever. And so we just finished up a quad home here in Northfield.
Whereabouts?
Right over by the soccer field.
Right over in my neighborhood, as a matter of fact. That's great.
Awesome. Yeah. It's our second one over there, so we're pretty proud of it. And then currently we're building six-bedroom homes down in Faribault.
Six-bedroom homes?
Yeah, I tried to say that five times fast.
You're building 36 bedrooms in Faribault. Yeah, right. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How does a project like that come together, and what's the, I mean, what sort of housing is that just for people to own their home? Let's back up.
Oh, sure.
Let's back up, because I make a lot of assumptions that people know so much about Habitat for Humanity because I happen to know a little bit about it.
Right.
Tell us about Habitat for Humanity and what is your goal and how do you go about things?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit Christian-based organization started down in Americus, Georgia, and every Habitat affiliate, which is what we are in Rice mm-hmm. County, builds affordable homeownership with volunteers and donors, and it really helps out the community all around. So what makes it affordable homeownership yeah. is that our mortgages are paid by the homeowners. They're not free homes, but our mortgages are laid out so they're 30% of the homeowner's income.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it really helps out those homeowners that are struggling,
yeah.
Especially if they're struggling and drowning in rent and they'll never get ahead. There's a lot of rental units out there that are not being kept up.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of health issues going on for the children. We believe that affordable homeownership creates that stability for the families, and so it really affects them all the way around. It affects higher graduation rates for the children, higher rates of children going on to the secondary, college, vocational. It helps families attain savings so they can save for retirement. A lot of our adults go back to higher education themselves. And so we truly believe that homeownership then creates that stability, the means for them to achieve more in life, which benefits all of us in the community if you think about it, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And so Habitat believes in a hand up, not a handout.
Okay, that was fantastic. Right. Okay, so then you've got projects like the six bedroom homes in Faribault. So is that how does a project like that come together?
Yeah, that was a big one for us. We had to apply for a grant through the city of Faribault.
Yep,
we partnered up with Three Rivers Community Action Center down in Faribault, and we were then awarded the grant, and the grant supplied us the land. And so we work with also local subcontractors right here in our community to help offset some of the costs of our constructions, and then it's also our volunteers that come in and our donors that help support us.
Right, right. A six bedroom home, is that just for a really big family? Is that what we're talking about? Six really big families?
We do have some very, very large families.
Yeah.
It was part of the grant. The grant said to have these larger homes to support our larger families.
Wonderful.
To come in under the certain budget, and Habitat was able to do that.
Because I do think there's sort of an assumption that, you know, God bless Habitat and what you do, but these are not, no, by no means are they opulent homes, but, you know, I think you're kind of thinking two bedrooms, three bedrooms at the most, but there are big families out there that need much more than that.
Yeah, they are, and even six bedrooms sometimes is not even enough, so, but we do also build single family homes that are according to family needs, so these six homes are part of a grant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Typically what we do then is we have our families apply for our program, and then we build the homes according to their needs.
Okay. All right. Folks, if somebody wants to volunteer with Habitat or would like to make a donation or just learn more about Habitat, Rice County Habitat for Humanity, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so you can go ahead and go on our website, habitatricecounty.org.
Okay.
Or you can get a hold of me at 507-403-7868.
Rice County Habitat for Humanity. Jody, thank you for all the work you're doing and just for being here. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. There's a volunteer out there for everybody. Like,
indeed. Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jody.
Hi, we are, of course,
Rich Larson back live here.
We're not done yet there, Rich. Okay, so back to it. Rich Larson out on location here this morning for the market fair over there in Dundas. Lots of fun activities going on. There's several, and I mean a lot of vendors and different things like that out there today. And frankly, one of the vendors out there just just happens to be, I guess that was kind of, maybe that went a little dead there for a little bit. Rich Larson, live from the market fair out in Dundas here this morning. He'll be out there throughout the day interviewing some different people. But we also want to bring on the head coach of the Clay Targets, and that's Pete Mergens. Pete, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Good. Listen, I know you're out there too. Surprisingly enough, Pete is out at the Dundas Market Fair, the Northfield Dundas Fair. What is it? Just a regional market fair? What's going on out there?
It's the community market fair. So this is what people would traditionally call the home and garden show, but it's more of a community market fair in that we have all sorts of different types of vendors from Northfield and the surrounding areas.
Awesome. So you, of course, representing Century 21.
Yep, I have a booth here for Century 21 Atwood and the Professional Pride Group, and of course the Cannon River Outdoors Club as well. I'm in two booths at one time. Imagine that.
Well, congratulations. Do you get half the price then, or how's that work?
No,
not so much, huh?
I'm happy to tell you, Century 21 is the main sponsor for the event here today. So,
and we thank you so much for that, because we can't do it without our sponsors. So we certainly appreciate that. And all you do. But we're actually, we want to talk about that Cannon River Sportsman's more than we do anything right now. The last time we talked, you had made some land purchases. You had worked with the Richfield VFW. Sounds like you're kind of connecting with some other local VFW and Legions, things of that nature. What's the status of that real quick? Just quickly, sure. The Cannon River Sportsman. Where are we at with that program?
Yep, absolutely. So the Cannon River Outdoors Club has joined in a joint venture with the American Legion Post 435 from Richfield, actually. They have been the owners of a gun club in the Webster area for 63 years. And unfortunately, they have fallen on some difficult times and were in jeopardy of losing the club. And, of course, me being the head coach of the Clay Target team, I was looking to move my team closer to Northfield, and the president of the Cannon River Outdoors Club. So I thought, hey, there's an opportunity, and so we joined in a joint venture to purchase the land itself from the American Legion Post 435 in Richfield, and we have started a new organization called the Veterans and Outdoors Gun Club. So it is a private club. You do have to be a member of either the American Legion Post 435 or a member of the Cannon River Outdoors Club to gain access to it.
Okay, very good. So with that said, I know that we had chatted the other day, and you're slowly just moving things along. You're taking things, you know, kind of baby steps, if you will.
Yep, and that's correct.
So where are we? What's the next thing? If I'm interested... Whether I'm interested in sponsoring or I'm interested in being a part of this Cannon River, what as we move forward, what can I do? How can I help, or how can I be a part of this?
So the best thing, and understand we're talking about two different entities. So the Cannon River Outdoors Club is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is set up for kind of the Northfield and surrounding areas. Really, I would say, Rice County, Dakota County, a little bit of Goodhue County. I mean, really, we're looking at about a 30-mile radius of Northfield, give or take. But we're looking for people that are interested in the outdoors. And I'm not talking about just hunting and fishing. I'm talking about hiking, biking, canoeing, bird watching, foraging, maple syruping, canoeing, whatever you're doing in the outdoors. We want to connect you to your friends and neighbors that have the same likes that you may or may not be aware of. And in doing so, the monies that we raise through our organization will be going back to at least the first three that we've identified would be the Northfield Raider Clay Target Team, the Northfield Raider Fishing Team, and a future Northfield Raider Archery Team that we would like to sponsor through the school. So these are all really exciting programs that are not sponsored or not paid for by our school education. The tax dollars that are brought in do not go to any of these teams, and we're trying to provide some funding to them to ensure that our kids are spending time in the outdoors. And so that's really what the Outdoors Club is all about. There's a There's a newsletter that goes out quarterly. There's a dinner meeting. We have a dinner meeting once a quarter where you can bring your entire family, come out, break some bread, and learn about outdoor activities. We will typically have 2 to 3 people come and speak about various outdoor topics. And we also have a messaging board on our webpage at www.CannonRiverOutdoorsClub.com. And so if you're a member, you can sign up and talk about whatever you like to do in the outdoors with other folks.
Very nice. Excuse me. Very nice. Very yeah. Cool. With that said, let's talk about real quick. We've got a couple minutes left here on the program here this morning, and let's talk real quick about the simple fact that you are the head coach of the Clay Target team. Where are we with that? Have they started competition yet?
Our season starts next weekend. We start practice. So we have 3 weeks of practice before our regular season starts. Last year, we were, of course, we finished 11th in the state, which sounds like, oh, gosh, that's not that great. But it's actually phenomenal because the difference between first place and 11th place was 8 targets, 8 missed targets out of 500. So I was very, very proud of my team. This year we have around 80 students that will be on the team again this year. And we also have our skeet team, which has 2 years in a row won the state Class 2A championship. So we're going for a three-peat this year in skeet. And we're just very excited. We have a good group of young kids. We graduated 12 kids last year. And so we've got a whole new group of kids coming up in the ranks. We had 21 new students this year sign up for the team. So we're very excited about our program and the fact that we can be competing closer to home now.
So I'm going to ask, I don't know if it's too late. Is it too late to register?
It is too late to register. Yep, registration closed about a week ago. We start registration the 1st of February every year.
So your team is pretty much ready to go.
Yep, set and ready to roll. Ready to roll. So
sounds good. And you're going to continue to do that over there by Montgomery?
So this will be in Webster. Actually, it's on the east side of 35. Webster actually comes over to the east side of 35. I don't know if a lot of people recognize that. So we're only talking 15 minutes from downtown Northfield.
Nice.
To the gun club.
Okay, and then, but that's, so, is that where you're going to be doing your practices now on and
yep,
competitions?
Practice and competition will all be done there. That's correct.
Nice. So that's a little change in the program, yeah. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, we're shooting a lot closer. Morristown Gun Club, where we used to shoot, was almost 45 minutes away for most of our team. So
that's what I meant, Morristown. I said Montgomery, but I meant Morristown.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so you moved a little closer to home.
Yes. Yep. Closer to home and more opportunities to practice.
Any idea how many teams are in the state now? There were
374.
They're up to 374 high school teams.
Yep.
There's not even 374 high school teams to participate in basketball, football, or baseball, or any of that I know of.
Yep.
I mean, that's
pretty
amazing,
isn't it?
That is. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that's. That's. I mean, how long is this? I mean, it's been around longer than we think. How long has it been around?
I think will be our 15th season.
Wow!
Since its inception, it was started here in Minnesota, and now we're in 37 states in the U.S. And over 50,000 high school students participated last year. We hope to. Our goal as the USA Clay Target High School Clay Target League is to get up to 100,000 as. At our earliest convenience. So we're pushing all 50 states to encourage their high schools to get involved.
Wow. That is an amazing feat. That's awesome.
Yep.
Pete,
fastest
I know
you're fastest growing sport.
I know it is indeed. Like I said, I don't know of any, our basketball teams don't represent 374. That's outstanding. So anything else exciting out there at the market? You could come to the Century 21 booth and spin a wheel, I understand.
Yep.
Maybe win, you know, a new car or something.
it's not quite as good as The Price is Right, but it's darn close.
Come on down.
We have five $200 or more valued prizes that you get a crack at winning at some point here today. So,
well, that sounds like fun, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah,
right?
It's there's a lot of people here right now, which is great. But the dome is so awesome because we have so much space, so there's lots of room for people here.
Lots of room to move around and enjoy. So if you want to come down and say hi to Pete, whether it's for Century 21 to see what's happening in the real estate business, please do. But also, if you got a question regarding not only the skeet and trap team and stuff like that, and maybe, you know, maybe they can't join this year, but, you know, maybe they can get involved next year, or maybe they can help, you know, sponsor it or be a contributor
Absolutely.
To it. You can stop in and see Pete and talk to him a little bit more about that as well. And then talk about the Cannon River Sportsman's Club as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Jimmy.
Pete, good luck. I know you've got plenty of stuff to go. I'll let you go. And thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Pete Mergens is the head coach of the Boys and Girls Trap and Skeet team. And we'll take a quick break right here, and that'll wrap up the program pretty much here today. And we're going to have, I believe I'm going to have Jody Odenthal will join us. And he'll join with Rich Larson.
Rich Larson back here with the Community Market Fair. I'm sitting with Joe Odenthal of American Dumpster Rental and Recycling. Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Good morning, Rich. Good. Nice to be with you.
Yeah. So as we're recording this, it's almost 9:30. The show's just started, so I'm not going to ask you how it's going for you so far, but we anticipate it'll be great for you, right?
It is. Yeah. It's going great. I was pretty excited to see a couple of local contractors that I've done work with before at the show this year. They weren't here last year, so.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, there's more than 100 vendors here today, man. This keeps growing every year, and it's just a great idea, and it's a wonderful show. Joe, let's talk about American Dumpster Rental and Recycling. So basically, I call you, you bring me a dumpster, and that's that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to keep it simple, right?
Okay.
I will go off on a tangent about recycling and, you know, how great, how much opportunity there is in recycling and how much isn't being recycled, and just go off on that. And sometimes I get distracted and forget to say, hey, we drop off dumpsters and we pick them up.
Well, let's talk about recycling.
Sure.
Because I, you know, there are other dumpster drop-off companies out there that, and, you know, 25 years ago, when I lived in New Hope, I used one, and the service was incredibly convenient, right? They bring you the dumpster, you clean out your garage, and then poof, it all goes away because they come and get it. That's exactly what you do, right?
That's exactly what I do, and I make it easy for people. A lot of people hire me because of the sorting, recycling, donating, things that I do, but the basics of the process are you call me or you go onto my website and book, and I show up, and the rest is magic.
That's great.
Yeah.
What kind of a service area do you serve?
So I like to say I live over by Lonsdale, so I like to say 40 miles of Lonsdale, New Prague. But for my contractors, if they call me and say, hey, we just are doing some hail damage up in Elk River.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm your only call.
Okay.
So I will be there.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's customer service right there, though. That's great. So tell me about recycling. I mean, I didn't realize that there was a recycling component to what you do also. Let's talk about that.
So I spent 20 years in the window and door replacement industry. Show up and rip people's windows out, put new ones in, take all the trash in my box truck and back up to one large dumpster and throw everything in that one dumpster. And, you know, for the last 20 years, it's like we're so advanced in recycling. This should all be figured out, right?
Right.
Like all this stuff is getting sorted. Everything's getting recycled. It's possible. I'm sure it's happening.
Absolutely.
But then you find out it's not. And I start doing a little sorting on my own as I'm throwing stuff into other people's dumpsters back then and realizing, man, I got cardboard in here. I got plastic film, I got vinyl windows and vinyl siding, and, you know, that's all PVC, that's recyclable as well, and metal, obviously, and it's like once you get that stuff removed, there's really not much left in the bottom of the dumpster, so if we can do 80-90% recycling rate,
sure,
let's figure out how to do that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, is that part and parcel with your service? How does it all work?
So, that's why I got into this business.
Okay.
And as easy as everything sounds, it is a pretty difficult process because there's not a lot of things being made out of recycled plastic. Mm-hmm. A lot of the groups that I'm in, recycling, you know, Reuse Minnesota, Recyclers of Minnesota, I'm on the board with the Solid Waste Association in North America, and a lot of the solutions are that we need are manufacturing of with recycled products. So
sure.
If I want to talk about my big, hairy, audacious goal, it would be to manufacture a product out of, you know, vinyl siding or recycled styrofoam long term. So
yeah.
I'm trying to put the whole thing into a package and build this circular recycled economy right here locally. So,
Joe, that's amazing.
Like
that's
I told you, I drop off dumpsters, I pick them up, but I'll go on a tangent about recycling. So
I think that's fantastic. Cool. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
I am at AmericanDumpsterMN.com.
Okay.
Also on Facebook.
Okay.
At American Dumpster Rental and Recycling.
Okay.
Or you can give me a call or text at 651-442-8960.
All right.
I answer my phone 7 days a week from 6 in the morning till 10 at night. If you want to call and ask how to recycle a certain item, I'd love to sit and chat with you.
You heard it here first, folks. Give Joe a call and talk about recycling and clean out your garage all at the same time. Pretty cool. Joe Odendahl with American Dumpster Rental and Recycling. Good luck today at the show, sir, and we appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much, Rich.
All right. Rich Larson back here with the Community Market Fair. I'm sitting.
All right, boys and girls, that's a wrap. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for yet another Saturday morning. Enjoy it. We're going to see a little bit of rain this afternoon, maybe 1 to 2 inches tonight. Some overcast skies and some craziness tomorrow and Monday. Maybe a chance of snow in and out of there. We're at 32. It's windy. It's breezy. It's overcast, but it's a beautiful day when you're in it. So we'll see you next week here on KYM.
The Chamber of Commerce is thrilled to tell you about the Community Market Fair. It's more than a home and garden show.